2010 Soils Planner, development of the U.S. Soil Survey. And I don't know how many of you are members of the SSSA. Raise your hand, all of you. So you all receive the Soils Planner every year. I'm very happy to tell you that this year we're getting it out in the end of November. Impossible. But we'll see. It's going to all go to the land care facility for USDA and sit there and then be distributed back out. And SSSA has already made their contract for their 4,000 or 5,000 planters, and they'll be sending them directly out to their to their membership. So we'll see how that goes. I'd first, before I start, like to thank one person in the audience, Dr. Doug Helms, and as well as Samuel Stalkup. Is Sam a PhD in history? He's working on it. He's getting there. And then also Paul Reich and Harry Eswaran in Washington, D.C. Paul's here too, and Paul has been instrumental in many of the planners over the past few years, as well as Hari, and I just want to make sure that they're the ones who did the real work in writing the planner for this year, and that I'm the grunt that sort of administratively pushes it through the system. The Soils Planner this particular year is covering the history of soil survey. We were sitting around the table, you know, always about this time of year when we've put the last soils planner to bed. We kind of brainstorm in November and we pick a topic and we go with it. And we have our little lunch break, and we decided for this particular year coming up for 2010 that we would do the Soils Planner of the History of the U.S. because we had our 75th anniversary of NRCS, and we thought the agency would like that, and also because we felt that the subject was a good subject and its time had come, and Sam and Doug were willing to coach us and write many of the pieces to get us through to do that planner. The whole purpose, you know, why, I've sort of said why history this year, but then why a soils planner, and why the calendar? And the whole purpose of pushing the information out, you have 12 months where everyone has that calendar up, looking at it every day, and it's a learning exercise where they're reminded every day for 30 days, whatever's the subject matter of that month. They turn the page and then they watch and read that thing for another 12 months. And there is one story that's kind of fun. I forget which calendar it was back when, a couple years ago. Somebody didn't like it, and they wrote a letter to the chief, and they said, "I hated this planner. It's a waste of time. I read every single page, every single word." And it was, you know, you need a different subject next time. So the chief laughed, and he said, "When is it that we have a 30-page document that they read every single word?" And critique every single page. And usually a few days after the planner comes out, we get a whirl of emails from all the folks in the field where it's a game to find the mistake. And there always is one. So you guys, look, I think we got it clean this time. You're not going to find a mistake. But we usually also have people reading every single word. And then months later, still reading every single word because, you know, people, I heard that, you know, people cut them up, people scan them, put them in their own presentations. They use them for numerous resources, as well as handing them out to the public or their students. So this year, the 2010 planner, I thought I would give you an overview and give you a little history lesson. And excuse me if I don't get it absolutely perfect. Also excuse me that if you can't read all the words, the whole point is to get the whole picture and see the pictures for this time around. And then when you get your planner in a few months, hopefully in a few weeks, but might be in a few months, I hope not. You can read those words and memorize that and give it to your own students and use that information because I think it's in discrete pieces that you can really absorb the information. In the case of the history of the soil survey, we start out with the origins of the National Cooperative Soil Survey with 1893, President Grover Cleveland worked with Charles Dobney to set up and charged him to set up a professional scientific corps for the USDA. And Dobney created the Division of Agricultural Soils at that time and assigned Milton Whitney to be its director. And it's kind of cool. We got a picture here of, let's go back. We have a picture here of Charles Dobney, and we have the Bureau of Soils, 1922. Look how dapper they look there. So going on, in 1903, one of our most famous SCS, NRCS, whatever you want to call it, folks started with the Bureau of Soils, Hugh Hammond Bennett, and he worked as a soil surveyor out in the field, and his sort of beginning of claim to fame, because working as a soil scientist in the field, he came to realize that soil erosion was a national menace, and here's the original document right there. His book that he, a little pamphlet he wrote, The Soil Erosion, a National Menace, which received national attention and sort of set the country on its way. This was in 1928, set the country on its way to the eventual creation of the Soil Erosion Service, which was later called the Soil Conservation Service, which is now called the Natural Resources Conservation Service. In 1933, the Soil Erosion Service got its start with Hugh Hammond Bennett as its director. And with Hugh Hammond Bennett, he wanted to set up that whole system of conservation planning. And he realized that soil survey was an important part about it. And he wanted to make it simple, so he encouraged the land capability class units and the development of that system, and so he converted, he encouraged soil survey mapping on private lands and on farms, and then converting that to a simple system of land classification that people would be able to discern what kind of farming they wanted to do. Something cool about some of these pictures, this map case, they made me clean out the closet about 2 months ago up in the USDA building on our on the floor above us, and we found this map case, and I took it upstairs to the designer, and I said, look at this map case, and he said, oh, let me take a picture of it. And then we put it in the planner. So it's amazing what you find in closets in the old USDA building. So aerial photography, believe it or not, or you probably knew this, that it really started to happen in the 1920s. Almost immediately, people said, hey, this is a good idea. Let's take pictures from those funky planes. And immediately, also, they started to convert and start to use these in certain surveys. And in the case of, let's see, 1929, there was a survey in Jennings County, Indiana, where they actually used aerial photos to create a soil survey. And that was the beginning of us using them consistently throughout our soil survey mapping. I love this equipment here. When I saw this picture, I said, we got to put that in there. That's a lot comparing to what we do with GIS now. Then, you know, things went on, but many of you probably didn't realize we had the soil erosion service, but also the soil survey was continuing in another bureau and department. In 1952, the USDA said, you know, the main ownership and interests for the soil survey are with the Soil Conservation Service, which it was called, I think it was already called the Soil Conservation Service by that time, right? So in 1952, he combined the two. And he brought the Division of Soils, or whatever its name was at that time, and combined it into the Soil Conservation Service. And we sort of had the beginnings of that function surviving, both the research function of soil survey and the mapping function into the Soil Conservation Service, which is now the Natural Resources Conservation Service. And a lot of the soil chemistry and fertility type activities stayed in the more research-oriented part, which later became the ARS, or the Agricultural Research Service. In addition, in the 50s and the 60s was a period of time. Dr. Kellogg was, I believe, the division director at that time. He assigned a guy named Guy Smith to start working on a soil taxonomy. They had the 1938 Yearbook of Agriculture, where they had a preliminary view of taxonomy, just some preliminary ideas of how to do some classification. But the special addition that Guy Smith made to it is that he really took quantitative measurements and visual quantitative cues that put those into the taxonomy, and also made it so it was mappable and also applicable to agricultural management. So many of the concepts of divisions of soil taxonomy. So it was very special that way, and these are some of the earlier books. Also, this is a picture of Guy Smith in an international setting discussing some of this work. And yeah, many of you might have seen in past planners, we always have this picture of Guy Smith with a cigar. We decided not to do that one this time. I think we've used it like four or five times, but anyway. In addition, we've always had an aspect of international assistance. During the 1910s and the 1920s, Hugh Hammett Bennett worked in many countries, mostly Central and South America was his interest. In the 1930s, James Thorpe wrote the Survey of China. And then the 40s and the 50s, Dr. Kellogg made some trips all through tropical Africa and South America, making special studies of tropical soils. In the 90s, I think, we don't have the date right here. Well, let's see, what's it say here? 1970s, the USAID set up the Soil Management Support Services, SMSS, which organized workshops all around the world for soil taxonomy, and Dr. Hariaswaran and Paul Reich, who were part of that, worked with countries all over to create global soil regions and the global soil regions map, which is being used in the Smithsonian right now with the Smithsonian Soils Exhibition. And those maps are still quite popular to use. It's really a very usable map for teaching and for science. In some places, that's the only information that's available. So. And then finally, the Web Soil Survey. We're bringing you to the modern times. And with the Web Soil Survey, it came out in August 2005. Since then, we've had about 5 million individual unique customers using that web soil survey. We average about 4,200 hits a day, which is pretty good, and over 110,000 users per month. So, in conclusion, this planner did historic highlights. We wanted to put out some education on the conservation movement and the soil survey and how the two merge together, and to create a body of knowledge that is useful today. And also the use of the planner to just incrementally feed that information to you. The tool has been pretty successful over the last 10 years. We're getting ready to think about our next subject, which will be urban soils, and I encourage you all to give me some information. We're working on it now, and if you are working in urban soils, I'd love to see what you got. And you might pick out one of your favorite planners. So there it is. Thanks.
Thank you.